From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 5th day of November 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Don Day will be here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming to discuss the agricultural weather forecast, and Harry Cooney will join us from GrowMark in Bloomington to take a look at the agricultural energies, in particular the availability of propane and its pricing, and we'll do all of that on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago at the CME Group, December corn today, a penny and a half lower, settled at $3.81¾. The March at $3.91¾, a penny and three quarters lower. And the May futures down two at $3.98½. July $4.04¾, a penny and three quarters lower. And December contract down one and a half at $4.02¼. November soybeans, 4 cents lower, $9.21¾ a bushel. The settlement price, January at $9.34¼, down 3¾. The March, 4 cents lower at $9.47¼. And May futures in the beans, 4¼ lower at $9.59. July down 4¼ at $9.69¼. And next year's November at $9.71¼, down 3 cents. The bean oil, 30 cents lower at $31.57. The bean meal at $3.0270. Up 30 cents for the day. Soft red winter wheat, July contract at $5.29 even, up 3¼. The hard red July at $4.55, up 2 cents for the day. Live cattle futures, December contract, 62½ lower at $119.45 per 100 pounds. February there at $124.67½, up 7½ cents. And feeder cattle finished $1.22½ lower at $147.85. January futures at $145.77½, down 22½ cents. Lean hogs December futures up $2.75 at $67.27½, and February at $73.75, $1.85 higher for the afternoon. Crude oil up 66 cents a day for the barrel, and November contract unchanged in the ethanol. Heating oil futures a penny and a half higher, and the gasoline price up a penny at $1.67¾ per gallon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up around 90 points, the U.S. dollar up 0.44, and the gold futures down $23.30. We're now joined by Paul Cooley. He is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana today, and filling in for Wayne Nelson. Hey, it's really good to talk to you again, Paul. Thanks for being with us.
No, it's been too long, Todd, but thanks for inviting me on today. And of course, Wayne is with his lovely wife, Becky, at the Cleveland Clinic, and hopefully things will turn out well for them.
Oh, yeah. So it's surgery. I wanted to just follow up. Not a big deal there. But, hey, any news that we ought to know about today before we start talking about the marketplace?
The big news, of course, the Indianapolis Star has Roger Penske, big legend in the auto industry, buying the Indianapolis 500 from the Holman family, Tony George. And, that's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
1,000-acre racetrack.
Greatest spectacle in motorsports. All right.
And so, it does give you a certain amount of nostalgia and a lump in your throat when you go to the place on Memorial Day.
Yeah, it does. I've been to the Indy 500 many times myself. Let's talk about the marketplace in general. So Paul Cooley's been watching this for several years again now. What's your general assessment?
Well, it's big time news that's going to come out on Friday, because we'll have a little better feel what the USDA has to say about harvested acres. And of course, that's a big deal. And of course, they'll also give us some direction on the yield. And the average guess is basically seeing a smaller acreage and also a smaller harvest. Did yield. And the other major problem that we're going through with this is it's a slow harvest. We still have a lot of corn and soybeans out in the field. And the problem we're having here in Indiana is the wet corn, and the grain dryers can only take so much. And so farmers have to stop and wait for the dryers to catch up. And so that's a big deal. And it does make people worry about delayed harvest too as we go into the big month of November.
Yeah, so this month is supposed to be colder than expected or average, I suppose. That'll probably be good as long as it doesn't come along with snow, and we'll hear that in just a bit from Don Day. I'm wondering, in your career, do you have experience or much experience with late harvest and what it does to basis in the marketplace for both corn and soybeans?
Well, you know, we've had some really major, you know, yes, we've had, I think 1974 was a frost year, and, you know, it was a late harvest, and the wet corn, but usually you think of a delayed harvest as some yield loss, and we're still trying, and with the idea of a strong bean base, crush margins, that also gives the market some support. But every time we have a delayed harvest, it does reduce yield, and it does put added pressure on the farmer, and of course the moisture levels in some locations are in that twilight zone of 25 and 6, 7, 8%. So that means it's going to be hard to dry and keep the crop.
So what do producers need to try to balance at this point? Because it'll probably cost them to dry. They got to run it across the scale, especially if it's going into the commercial storage. How do they balance it all out?
Well, you know, I've had a couple of people actually call me at home and ask me about that, and I said, well, you know, the old magic deal is on rainy days you empty the bin and you fill it back up with wet corn and let the dryer do its magic. And of course, drying costs are expensive, and it does keep your machinery going and labor going, and, you know, really farmers can dry the corn and the crops just as cheap as XYZ commercial elevator. So, you know, it's for dollars and cents, it's a profitable deal to dry it on the farm. So, and the big thing too is you'd want to avoid damage. You know, don't put corn in the bin. It's over 20-22% unless you're going to get it out or some very good aeration, and watch it very closely. So the cold weather helps on that, in that regard as well. But the big news is, of course, is the big crop report, and hopefully if we do get some sort of an agreement signed with China, that will improve demand. And overnight, the Chinese did say they were going to lower their tariffs on agricultural products. And the stock market's acting good, the crude oil market's acting good, and the hog market's acting good. So those are barometers, and in my opinion, the stock market will probably be the barometer to watch to give us the indication that, hey, it's a green light and something's going to get really done this time.
Yeah, are your expectations for the price of corn and soybeans, and I know we're in the middle of harvest, so this should pop, but how much do you think that they will come up after the harvest season is more complete or gets more than 50% done?
I'm under the opinion that they're going to have to buy more U.S. commodities than they have in the past, instead of saying, I'll buy it cheaper in Argentina or Brazil or someplace else in the world. But, you know, if it doesn't work, you know, the government needs to help the farmer in a couple of ways, either with some CRP programs, you know, maybe take 1 or 3, 4 million acres out for 1 year, you know, open up some grain reserves. But the big problem is it's a waiting game, and it's unfortunately the farmers had to wait too long in a lot of cases, and it's a big guessing game just what the actual balances are going to be.
Hey, Paul, it's been fun talking with you. Thanks so much.
Hey, it's great fun, and nice talking to you, Todd.
And, of course, is Paul Cooley. He's filling in today for Wayne Nelson out of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Joined us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Look us up. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that right there off our website at willag.org. That address again, willag.org.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of Sunday, 52% of the corn crop around the nation had been harvested. The rolling five-year average is 75%. By the way, a couple of the other states you might want to know about, beyond the ones we'll report momentarily, including Kansas, which is the fifth largest corn-producing state in the nation. It's 83% done, normally 89% done. Nebraska is number three. They're 60% done at this point. Normally, they're 69%. And in North Dakota, where they've had difficulty all year long, they are now 10% of the way harvested with their corn crop. Normally, they're at 60% complete. Now, here are the state statisticians from Illinois, Minnesota, and Iowa with their updates.
This is Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. Iowa farmers continue to deal with challenging field conditions as the first accumulating snowfall of the year fell across parts of the state during the weekend of November 3, 2019. Statewide, there were 4.4 days suitable for fieldwork. Fieldwork activities included harvesting soybeans and corn for grain, spreading manure, applying anhydrous, baling corn stalks, and fall tillage. Topsoil moisture condition was rated 0% very short, 1% short, 81% adequate, and 18% surplus. 43% of the corn crop has been harvested for grain, 8 days behind last year and 11 days behind the 5-year average. Producers in the North Central District were able to harvest over 1/4 of their expected crop this past week. Moisture content of field corn being harvested for grain was at 21%. Corn condition rated 67% good to excellent. 80% of the soybean crop has been harvested 3 days behind last year and 1 week behind average. Areas in Iowa are still dealing with muddy feedlots, while others reported no livestock issues this past week. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Brad Medlock.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois, with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. The coldest weather of the season came to Illinois last week. The state averaged 39 degrees, and temperatures ranged from 10 to 13 degrees below normal. Rainfall averaged 1.19 inches across the prairie state, and that is 1/3 of an inch more than normal for this time of year. Farmers made slight progress harvesting corn and soybeans and planting winter wheat. On Sunday, soil temperatures ranged from the mid-30s in northern Illinois to the lower 40s in southern parts of the state. There was an average of only 2.2 days suitable for field work last week, and topsoil moisture levels were reported as 1% very short, 5 short, 65 adequate, and 29% surplus. Corn is now mature on 95% of acres. That compares to 100% 1 year ago, and also 100 for the 5-year average. 58% of acres have been harvested compared to 92 last year and 88 normally. Illinois soybean harvest is now 77% finished compared to 91 last year and also 91 normally. 83% of winter wheat has been planted for harvest next year. That compares to 83% 1 year ago and 84 normally. 60% of wheat acres have emerged compared to 63 normally. Pasture conditions were rated 16% very poor to poor, 45% fair, and 39% good to excellent, which is a little worse than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office with weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending November 3rd, 2019. Drier conditions finally prevailed throughout all of Minnesota, leading to 5.7 days suitable for fieldwork during the week. Field activities consisted of harvesting crops, but there were limited reports of some fall tillage and manure spreading. The crops coming out of the fields are often reported as wetter than usual for this time of year, with many producers looking to dry their crop. Topsoil moisture condition was rated 0% very short, 1% short, 61% adequate, and 38% surplus. Corn harvested for grain reached 44%, that's 11 days behind the average. Corn moisture content of grain at harvest averaged 22%, down 3 percentage points from the previous week. Corn harvested for silage reached 97% this week, that's 16 days behind normal. The corn condition was rated 56%, good to excellent, a slight improvement from the previous week. 80% of the soybean crop has been harvested, that's 8 days behind last year and 2 weeks behind average. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Try us out on your Bluetooth in the combine cab or that tractor cab if you're running the grain cart, maybe even in the semi or the tandem or in the tractor hauling those wagons this week if you'd like. You can do that easily enough. Just look us up in your favorite podcast app, including Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, NPR One, even Spotify. Oh, let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Don Day is here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Let's start with, I think, what's a cold weather forecast for this week and maybe for November. What do you see in the Midwest?
Yeah, it is certainly going to be trending colder. Some of the cold that's been felt out in the western states, really since the end of October, is going to be spreading east. And we've got a pattern that's going to funnel a lot of very cold Canadian air into the northern plains, the Great Lakes, and into the Corn Belt, and even getting all the way to the East Coast. So I think the first real widespread cold for the central and eastern half of the nation in the next couple of weeks will be moving on in. Now, this is going to be some pretty darn cold temperatures, especially for the Dakotas, Minnesota, and the Great Lakes. Great Lakes, those water temperatures are still pretty warm, and with this Arctic air coming, we're going to see lake effect snows kicking in as well.
Oh, so they'll have to worry about that. Farmers won't be happy about the snowfall. The frozen temperatures might help them out, especially if they can get up on top of these soils that are soaked and saturated. How low are the lows? And more importantly, the daily highs need to stay really pretty cold, too.
Well, it is looking like we may be able to reach that, where it's going to be cold enough day and night to keep the fields from getting too muddy. This is going to be especially true by this weekend and for probably all of next week. Now, yes, there is going to be some snow. However, the bigger snows, I think, will be in those localized lake effect snows. So I think for a large part of the Corn Belt in the Midwest that, we're going to see some snow with this colder weather, but nothing too heavy. So it's the right mix. We are going to see temperatures for lows as cold as the single digits and teens at the heart of this cold for the Northern Plains, teens and 20s for the Corn Belt.
And highs for the day?
Upper 20s and lower 30s.
Mm-hmm. Turn your attention to South America. What kind of conditions are they working on from top to bottom?
Well, when it comes to precipitation, it's going to be dry, especially in some of the central, south central and eastern areas of Brazil. The southern growing areas of Brazil and the northern areas of Argentina look to have some adequate rainfall. You know, there's nowhere right now in South America that I see is excessively wet or excessively dry. It is dry in some of those eastern areas, but adequate soil moisture for many areas of Argentina and Brazil. And I think that trend will continue.
Okay, thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Let's turn our attention now to the agricultural energies as we do each and every Tuesday. And once a month, we're joined by Harry Cooney. He is at GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois. Hey, good afternoon to you, Harry. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd, on a beautiful harvest Tuesday afternoon.
You know, farmers are hard at it, I'm sure, across a large part of the Midwest, and they're harvesting corn that is far too wet, in their opinion, but unlikely to dry out, is my guess, without a little help. And yeah. I've seen more than a few folks complaining about the price of propane and even the availability of propane. Can you give me a broad picture of what you see in that sector?
Well, in the propane arena, the U.S., the bigger picture, the U.S. has very adequate stocks of propane. There's no problems with the U.S. running anywhere close to running out of propane. The problem is the garden hoses or pipelines that come across from the major supply hubs haven't been upgraded or increased in size over the years. As we've had increases in demand, we have larger crops, we have more tanks placed out for home heat and such, and so the local terminals can have outages from time to time. So when we're talking to our FS member cooperatives here now, it's more of a supply near term. It's more of a supply issue than it is a price issue. They just need to get their hands on it. And so it'll get moved around over time. It's just in the very near term, some of these truck lines are having to drive much farther to get the product than they would normally like to. And in some cases, the major hub for the Midwest is down in central Kansas. Some trucks are already being dispatched down to that location where the major hub is here and picking up propane and bringing it back. The lines down there aren't nearly as long as they are at some of our local terminals, but it takes, of course, a lot longer to get there and get back. So we run into one of these situations every 5 to 8 years or so. The last time was in the, I think it was, if you remember right, the polar vortex, if I remember, back in 13, 14. And this one, I don't know if this one will get as tight as that one, but it's going to get a little tight here. And but the system has a lot of ways to work to get product, and our supply folks are doing a great job.
So what you're telling me is that stocks are ample enough, but it's just not in the right place. So there should be some, I suppose, basis movement in certain areas. How did you or your company or producers deal with that?
Well, in the first place, we have a lot of contracts on the books already. We have a lot of contracts that they're pulling off of. But you're right. Some of the basis levels at the local terminals have done what they call like have a blowout, because it takes off quite a bit faster than other terminals at the local. So if you're going in for a spot load, the price off the spot market, it can be up some, but it's nothing like what it was in 13, 14. Believe me, I mean, those markets got real wild. This one is just firmed up some. It's more of just a supply issue right now. We just need to get more product. It's getting there, sometimes just a little slower than what we'd like to have it.
On the regular energy markets, if I recall correctly from our previous conversations, there is a fairly seasonal movement in the marketplace in November, Thanksgiving time, generally speaking. Do you see that coming?
That's right. I still think it is. The liquid fuel market has firmed up here over the past week or so after hitting a little near-term low there early last week. And some of this is on the heels of just some buying coming in on the heels of the strength in the stock market. Stock market's made new all-time highs here for several sessions in a row, depending on which index you base it off of. But stock market's been doing good on the upside. And that gives a little more optimism for maybe some increased fuel demand over time. But you're right when you talked about that seasonal setback. Eventually, well, our feeling is that we can set this market back into some lower lows in the later November, December, January time period. And then we'll start looking at doing some contracting, actually, for 2020, for next year. We'll look at doing some diesel fuel contracting for spring, summer, and fall. We'll also look at doing some propane contracting for next fall and winter. However, the propane contracting seasonal has a little better price dip in late spring to early summer than the liquid fuel one does. So it's more of liquid fuel here in the winter and more propane contracting in the late spring and summer out there.
Hey, thanks so much. Have a great day today.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That's Harry Cooney. He helps us wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between, including our Commodity Week program, which is recorded on Thursday afternoon, although this week, because of the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate Report released Friday, will go live Friday afternoon. You can hear that program during our closing market report hour-long event that day, if you're listening to the home station. Otherwise, many of these radio stations will have it on the weekend, where you can find it at willag.org Friday afternoon.